On a Monday, it is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Glad you could be here. A bipartisan bill requiring schools to include instruction on the Holocaust and other genocides was sent to Governor Evers' desk. How do you think we should talk to children about genocide, about racism and hate crimes? Do you think it's important to teach children about atrocities? And how should educators decide which ones to focus on? It's 800-642-1234. Lisa Subek is a Democrat representing the 78th Assembly District. It includes parts of Madison, Middleton, and Verona. Representative Subek, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me.
Well, you've toured Stutthof, the Nazi concentration camp in Poland, saw it firsthand in recent years, and I understand you interviewed Holocaust survivors as a teenager. How have these experiences shaped your view of this legislation?
Sure. So I think this legislation is vitally important. It's one of the reasons that I authored it. The reality is I look at many of the incidents that happen today, whether it's the rise in anti-Semitic incidents on our campuses and elsewhere, whether we're talking about Asian American hate crimes, crimes against African Americans. And I think about the lessons that I learned through studying the Holocaust. I think they are incredibly applicable today. You look at how Jewish people and others were scapegoated during the Holocaust. And you think about the lessons that could be learned. You think about what would happen, what would have happened if people stood up and said, this is wrong, and stopped it. And I think, you know, learning about the Holocaust may be the difference between having such a genocide happen again or not having it happen again. I think it's opportunities to teach young people not only what is right and wrong, and not only about history and the atrocities of history, but to teach them the values that stop it from happening again. And I think that that's really the real opportunity here. Obviously, as a Jewish woman, this is also incredibly personal for me.
Yeah.
And I have been alarmed by some of the statistics and things that have come out. You know, recent polling that showed that 22% of millennials had never heard of the Holocaust. Another study that indicated that two-thirds of Americans who are under 40 didn't know that 6 million Jews were killed in the Holocaust, and nearly half of them couldn't name a single concentration camp. To me, that frightens me, and I think that that needs to change. That's why I'm really pleased we were able to get this bill passed.
Representative, can you explain what this bill will do, you know, for education, you know, how it will unfold for schools?
I'd be happy to. So the bill requires that instruction on the Holocaust and other genocides actually be included in our social studies curriculum in our schools in Wisconsin at least one time during the fifth through eighth grades, and then again one time in the high school years between grades 9 and 12. And the Department of Public Instruction will incorporate this into the model academic standards and provide model curriculum that schools can use. In this case, we are really fortunate that we have an incredible institution here in Wisconsin, located in Milwaukee, the Holocaust Education Resource Center, that specializes in this. And they have offered their help and offered free resources to ensure that our schools and our teachers are able to get the training they need and are able to incorporate this curriculum without added expense for our school districts. And that really is just such an incredible resource. Among the things that the Holocaust Education Resource Center currently does is they reach out to schools, and they do provide curriculum resources to many of our schools now. Unfortunately, not all of our schools are consistently teaching this. When folks from the Resource Center came to testify on the bill, among them were Holocaust survivors, and there are not very many Holocaust survivors left. And you mentioned earlier one of the opportunities that I had as a teenager as part of a Jewish youth group project was to interview Holocaust survivors and record their stories. And those are experiences that kids today will not have, and there's such immense amount to be learned from that. And so anything we can do to make sure that we not only preserve that history, but continue to teach it and continue to learn from it and take from it so the atrocities of the Holocaust never happen again are worth doing.
It sounds as if this bill would offer some consistency on teaching about the Holocaust for all schools. Is there anything wrong about how schools are teaching the Holocaust right now?
Well, clearly, if you look at the numbers, we've got a problem, right? If 22% of millennials, 22% of young people haven't heard of the Holocaust, it's not being taught consistently. Again, you talk to folks under 40, and two-thirds did not know that 6 million Jews were killed in the Holocaust, and half couldn't name a concentration camp. To me, that's appalling, and that says that we are not consistently teaching about the Holocaust in the way that we should. And, you know, I take a look at what's been happening in our country and some of the divisive rhetoric and things, and I think this is so important. Understanding what happened, why it happened, how it happened, and how to keep it from happening again is so vital that we need to make sure we are consistently doing that. Certainly, we have schools and teachers who are teaching at great length about the Holocaust and about other genocides, but we also have schools where that's not happening. And the goal here is to bring that consistency and also to ensure that all of our schools have access to high-quality educational materials and information about the Holocaust. Because, you know, I think some of the problem might be that there are teachers out there who haven't had access to the materials that they would need or haven't been trained in how to talk about the Holocaust, how to teach us. So we want to make sure that this gets taught. You know, in my mind, it's so much more than a history lesson. It really is a lesson in how to build a better future.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Representative Lisa Subek of Madison about the genocide education bill. You can join in. Do you think it's important to teach children about atrocities? And how should educators decide which ones they should focus on? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@wpr.org. Representative, your bill requires that other genocides be part of Wisconsin's social studies curriculum. How will it be determined which genocides are taught?
You know, that is not defined by the bill.
Okay.
I think, you know, the reality is that, again, while we're providing some model curriculum and things, education in Wisconsin is handled largely at the local level. So some of the specifics can be up to the school district and the staff. The key is, you know, I think in so many ways, the key is the lessons to be learned here. You know, this goes, the history obviously related to the Holocaust is deeply personal for me, but it is so much more than history. It's what do we learn from understanding genocide? And so that is something that certainly at the local level could be determined. Sadly, there's a lot of options. And I think that is very telling and speaks to why this is so important.
Let's bring in Jeremy in Racine with thoughts on this. Hi, Jeremy.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I guess I'm in favor of all of this. The only problem I see is the teachers not having enough time to actually reach the subject to study it. In my experience, we've barely ever made it halfway through our history books through a regular school year, and usually it's just after the reconstruction phase, maybe. So how do we revamp our history books in our public schools so that teachers have the opportunity to actually teach a little bit more of modern history that we tend to never get to because of the old history of the founding of the nation and so on and so forth? That, to me, has always been the big stick in the room in regards to people not knowing enough of our history.
Jeremy, thank you. Representative Subek.
Sure. So I think that's a great question. I think that teachers face immense challenges in packing everything into our school curriculum. I think, you know, in this case, this bill is really a good first step. This is exactly what we need to be doing to make sure that we make time to teach about these events in our modern history. You know, this was less than 100 years ago that the Holocaust happened, that this occurred. And so that is often what gets skipped. And I think this bill is one step toward ensuring that happens. And obviously, we recognized when we put together this bill that it was important to support our teachers in doing this. And this is why we've asked DPI to work with HERC on model curriculum and to that we worked with HERC to ensure their commitment to helping support the state in implementing this.
Let's bring in Diana in Madison. Hi, Diana. What would you like to add?
Hi. I would like to offer that perhaps the bill just be called the genocide bill, because when you look at this country and, you know, how many Native Americans were slaughtered when the lands were being settled in the West, and Africans were killed being brought over for slavery in the Black Holocaust. I think, although, you know, the Holocaust was incredibly brutal and horrible, that to call the Holocaust and other genocides, it's kind of demeaning to those other groups that have a history of also having their people slaughtered. And so I would just, as a teacher, I would rather see it called just the genocide bill, and include then as inclusive of all groups that have suffered.
Yeah, and more inclusive of the persecution. Thank you, Diana. Representative Zubek.
And certainly a point well taken. When we name bills, they only have a name for as long as it's still a bill. I think that the Holocaust stands out as, in part because of its recency, I think, as so vitally important. And the fact that it was such a deliberate attempt to wipe out a particular group of people or groups of people. I do like to remember that the Holocaust is not just about the 6 million Jews who were killed. There were 5 million other people who were killed for various reasons. Disabled individuals were targeted. Romas were targeted. Clergy were targeted. There were a number of groups that were targeted. African Germans were targeted, although there were far fewer of them there. But those who were there were targeted. So this isn't something where it's inclusive of only one group. But I do think the full history is important. And I do think that our social studies curriculum needs to do far more to teach about our nation's history and its founding and the impact on Native Americans. I think we need to do far more to talk about the atrocities of slavery and to talk more about African-American history, generally speaking. I think this is, again, I would emphasize that this bill is as much about the lessons to be learned through knowing and understanding this history, mm-hmm. as it is about teaching the history of any one, group or even one incident.
We're talking with Democratic Representative Lisa Zubek of Madison about legislation she's working on. Wisconsin has a law in the books from the 1800s that makes abortion a crime if federal abortion law were overturned. How do you feel about the statute that details crimes against life and bodily security and including abortion as such a crime? Join in 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Representative Zubek here on the Ideas Network. It's a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with Democratic Representative Lisa Zubek. Wisconsin passed a law in 1849 that made having an abortion or performing an abortion a felony crime. If federal abortion law were overturned, there is this law on the books that would make the procedure a crime in Wisconsin. What should be done about this state statute? Do you think any common ground is possible on the issue of abortion? It's 800-642-1234. Representative Zubek is with us for about 9 more minutes. Representative, tell us about this Assembly Bill 106. What would it do?
Sure. So the bill you're referring to is the Abortion Rights Preservation Act. And it is a really simple bill. It would simply remove from our statutes our archaic 1849 law that criminalizes abortion. That statute is currently unenforceable because of the Supreme Court's Roe v. Wade decision. However, if that were to be overturned, and there really is a risk of that, abortion would become immediately not only illegal, but a criminal activity in the state of Wisconsin. And we want to change that to ensure that women, that the pregnant people continue to have access to abortion, no matter what a future Supreme Court may rule or decide.
There have been efforts to repeal this law in the past. None have been successful. You know, given that Republicans currently control the legislature, do you have hope that the law can be repealed this session?
Sure. So, you know, I don't expect that the Republicans will move this bill this session, nor do I expect that they will even hold a hearing on it. But certainly that's no reason not to introduce it, and that's no reason to stop fighting. I think one of the most important things that comes out of introducing this bill each legislative session is that people in Wisconsin often do not even know that abortion would be illegal in Wisconsin. They don't know that in our state they would no longer have access to safe and legal abortion care should the Supreme Court, you know, change their ruling on Roe v. Wade. And providing abortion is health care. It's not a criminal activity. It really is time that we repeal this ban. Whether it happens now or at some point in the future, I think that we need to keep talking about it. We need to keep working toward it in order to ensure that women can make personal health care decisions without interference from politicians, no matter what, you know, a court may decide.
How do you keep working toward it in the current political climate?
I think we keep talking about it. You know, we need to work with people out in the community. The reality is that the majority of the public supports access to safe and legal abortion. And so I guess we start there. You know, you start by introducing the bill, by talking about the fact that we have this ban on the books. I find in particular young people are surprised to learn that. And I suppose, why would you know that? And that's how we begin to change things. And, you know, Republicans have the majority in the legislature right now. That doesn't necessarily mean that they will forever. I think that it is important that we continue to work to change hearts and minds, but where we can't change their minds, there is the opportunity to elect somebody different, elect somebody who would stand up for the right of every individual to make their own healthcare decisions, to determine whether or not they will terminate a pregnancy or carry its term without interference from politicians. You know, at its core, I think this really comes down to it's as basic as freedom. You know, if you can't maintain control of your own body, your own health, your own life, how can you truly live free? And that's really why we need to keep fighting for this.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Lisa Subic, who represents the 78th Assembly District, includes parts of Madison, Middleton, and Verona. We're talking about the efforts she's putting behind the Abortion Rights Preservation Act. Do you believe abortion should remain legal in Wisconsin? What do you see in the state's statute from 1849 that concerns you? 800-642-1234. Representative, conservatives now have a 6-3 majority on the high court, the Supreme Court, and so far it hasn't overturned Roe v. Wade. Do you expect the U.S. Supreme Court to eventually overturn Roe?
I believe there's a real threat. At this point, we have seen states around the country over the past several years pass laws that push the limits of Roe, truly with the intention of getting a case to the Supreme Court that could be the case to overturn Roe. So that case hasn't come to the Supreme Court yet, but I think there is a real risk. When our former president was in office, he made a point and made no secret of the fact that he was appointing justices who would overturn Roe. And that screams out to me that there is a very real threat. And there is a reality that that if abortion is illegal, it doesn't actually stop women from having abortions. People die. It means that people who are wanting to terminate a pregnancy are forced back into back alleys. They're forced back into the situations that we had before Roe was legal, before Roe was decided, that in many states where abortion was illegal, women were dying because they were so desperate to terminate a pregnancy and didn't have access. Other women faced incredible health consequences because they couldn't get access to terminate a pregnancy when they needed to. And so, you know, I think that it's fundamentally flawed, even for those who want to limit abortions, to think that simply making it illegal or criminal will stop it from happening. The reality is that when an individual wants or needs to terminate a pregnancy, they will find a way to do that, but it won't be safe anymore. And that is really terrifying. You know, I've said to my friend, to my colleagues who disagree with me on the issue of abortion, look, if you want to limit the number of abortions, let's talk about comprehensive sex education. Let's make sure that everybody has access to birth control. Let's make sure that people have the tools they need to be able to plan their families. That will not eliminate the need for abortion, but certainly those are things that reduce the number of abortions. Unfortunately, the same folks who have been diametrically opposed to allowing safe and legal abortion are the same folks who continue to push back and do things like repeal what used to be our comprehensive sex education law and continue to limit access to birth control.
Representative, thank you for joining us.
Happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Democratic Representative Lisa Subic's district includes parts of Madison, Middleton, and Verona. Just ahead, we'll hear about how private landowners are trying to manage their forests and what landowners can do to prevent fires. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.